Yeah, let's head into the waiting room, as Wendy does every Tuesday here on Mornings. And we're talking today prostate cancer. It's something that thousands of men in Australia face. But when it comes to treatment, there is quite a bit of confusion around what's the best way forward. Surgery is often the first option that's offered. But a recent article in The Conversation is questioning whether Australian doctors are really giving their patients all the information they need to make an informed choice. David Smith is a researcher for the Cancer Council of New South Wales, and we'll speak with him in a moment. But I'd love to hear from you on this. Have you, or do you know someone who's been diagnosed with prostate cancer who did go under the knife without knowing that there were other options? 1300 222 702. You can text in as well, 0467 922 702. Or perhaps you opted for the less invasive radiation therapy. I'd love to hear from you how it went. Do you think that doctors might have a bias towards certain treatment options, not just with prostate, but perhaps with other diseases as well? Is surgery pushed at the expense of other ways of getting treatment? 1300 222 702. David Smith is with us now. Very good morning to you.
Morning, Deb.
It's an interesting article because it does raise a lot of issues. And for people who have been diagnosed with prostate cancer, it's obviously a lot of confusion, a lot of fear, and people concerned that perhaps they mightn't be getting all the options.
It's a really difficult time being diagnosed with any type of cancer. Prostate cancer often develops or is diagnosed when men least expect it, and to be thrown options, it's often very difficult to make any decisions, let alone being given all the decisions that might be important for men at those particular times.
So the article in The Conversation, Sandra Turner is the author, the Associate Professor at the Uni of Sydney. She's saying that basically doctors aren't giving all men the information that they would need, so that surgery is not just the only option that they have.
Absolutely. Men diagnosed with early stage prostate cancer are often eligible for a number of different management approaches, from surgery to radiation to actually doing nothing, so called active surveillance. And the trials internationally have shown that survival is equally as good for men who go on active surveillance as it is for radiation, as it is for surgery, and it comes at a lot lower cost to quality of life. And so having those options laid out to men at the time of diagnosis, making those treatment decisions, is really important.
And why would doctors not be giving men all those options?
Well, we've seen from international literature that doctors do have a bias towards their own speciality, and so if they go and see a surgeon, they are likely to be recommended to have surgery. If they see a radiation oncology, they're more likely to be recommended to have radiation.
And I suppose that, to me, is the head-scratching moment, because you think that if you are diagnosed with cancer, with prostate cancer or any form of cancer, that the specialist that you're speaking to would be across everything that you would need to know, that you shouldn't have to go to see a radiation specialist to get that information, or a surgeon to get the other information. Surely there is the one person who can provide all of those options, so you don't have to visit Dr. Google.
Well, that would be fantastic, but unfortunately, the best people to understand about what type of procedures involved, what the success rates are the person who does that procedure. And so seeing a radiation oncologist before making decisions about prostate cancer is important. Yes, it would be great if there were no biases in medicine, but there are. And one of the best ways is to seek those opinions and second opinions before making those decisions.
We'll get some information from you on what all of those pros and cons are from the various options are. But Jim is on the line with us now. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Deb.
What's your situation?
Less than 4 weeks ago, I had a radical prostatectomy. And I've got to say that, firstly, I'm very pleased with the result. And I am now clear of cancer. It was the ultimate. I also got to say that my doctor laid out every possible option for me. At the end of the day, he said that I would recommend that he have a prostatectomy.
So that is surgery. You went under the knife.
It is surgery. Went under the knife, had the prostate totally removed. But the other options were all presented to me,
okay,
including active surveillance. And he said to me that the prostate cancer itself probably won't kill me in the next 10 years. I'm 66 years of age. And he said active surveillance is not.
We've got Jim on a bad line there, unfortunately. You're dropping in and out, Jim, but it sounds as though Jim is one of those scenarios where he was given all of the options.
Mm-hmm.
So an unusual scenario, do you think?
Probably not. Well, not unusual, but certainly not all men are given all the options. We know that about 45% of men in Australia, or at least in Victoria, go down the route of radical prostatectomy. But we also know that the number of men who actually get a referral to speak to the radiation oncologist before going down that line is pretty low.
Okay. Guy is also on the line with us this morning. G'day, Guy.
Yeah, hi, Deb.
Hi. What's your situation?
I was diagnosed with a problem when I was about 56. I'm currently 58. I had biopsies and so forth, and what I had in my case was quite a high Gleason score. Now, that's a measure of how aggressive the cancer is. And my doctor, who was in fact a surgeon, suggested that because I had an aggressive cancer, it was early stages and I was quite young, it was quite likely that I would end up dying from it if I did the whole watch and wait or radiation therapy. So he suggested robotic prostatectomy, that's cut it right out. And that worked out fine for me. I'm happy that it's gone.
Yeah.
I don't have any ongoing symptoms.
Because I guess that's the concern for a lot of people, that, I mean, surgery is invasive by its very nature, and there are often, in some cases, side effects as a result of that. But, Guy, you haven't experienced that.
No, that's right. And in the sense of the surgeon, he did lay out all the options and his reasoning, which was that it was aggressive and I was young.
Mm.
And he did actually give me a book on it, which wasn't his book. It was, I couldn't actually find it leading up to this call, but from the Cancer Council or something like that, which actually laid out all of the different type of treatment options and why you would go for one over the other and what was the meaning of the Gleason score and so forth.
Mm. Well,
I think he did quite a good job.
And it sounds as though you've had a good outcome. So how are you doing now, Guy?
Oh, fine. I can hold on to my waters just fine, thank you.
Very good. That is good to hear. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Is that the case, David, that the Gleason score that Guy mentioned is a really highly determining factor in whether surgery is the way for you?
Absolutely. Not all men are good options for every treatment choice, and the Gleason score is one of the most important factors. Gleason, age of the man, and comorbid conditions, so whatever health issues that men have. So not everyone is a good option for surgery, and not everyone's a good option for radiation or active surveillance, and it really depends on an individual's choice, and having that choice and discussion with a robust discussion with their doctors and feeling comfortable so that they don't end up with treatment decision regret later down the track.
Xandro has sent in a text from Springwood in the Blue Mountains asking, what is prostate and why are men getting cancer in this part of the body? And also wondering how you can avoid it in the first place. How can we prevent it, and how do we avoid having to go down the route of surgery or radiation?
Great questions. We've jumped straight into the points in hand, and we haven't addressed the fact that prostate, only males have prostates. They are part of the reproductive organs, and they form one of the enzymes that's really important in making semen. Prostate, it's a very small gland. It's about walnut sized in most men, and generally doesn't cause any problems before about the age of 50, but then it starts misbehaving. Most men will experience some sort of prostate problems. These are usually benign problems. The prostate grows as you age and restricts the flow of urine out of the body. But one in five of us at this stage in Australia are likely to be diagnosed with prostate cancer. There are about 16,000 to 17,000 new cases diagnosed every year. It's the most common cancer. And there are about 200,000 Australian men living with prostate cancer now. So it's extremely common. We don't really know much about what causes prostate cancer. That's one of the great tricks. So we know that getting older is a risk factor. We know it runs in some families. And we know that the highest rates are experienced in black American men. Obviously, very high rates in Australian men as well.
Yeah, so I guess if we don't know what causes it, we don't know how to avoid it.
We really don't know what we can recommend to prevent prostate cancer, unlike many other cancers.
All right. Neem is on the line as well. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you? A very, very nice topic at the moment. And I want to tell you how can we save this cancer? Because this is a part of the body, all the bacteria get out from this place, which we have to clean all the hairs, and also clean with the tissue paper. Then after, we must clean with the water. If any human clean with the water, and tissue paper first, and then clean with the water with the left hand, and clean as much we can all the hairs from there. It is most chances we're not going to get any prostate cancer. And if we cover all our body parts with the light clothing, we're not going to get skin cancer. So we don't have to put billions and trillions of dollars on this thing, and we don't have to do anything but clean our body parts properly with the water, and we're not going to get prostate cancer, I'm 100% sure.
Well, I'm not sure about that name. We'll put it to David, if only it were that simple, I suppose. Well,
hygiene is important for many reasons, but I have not seen any evidence to say that there's a link between cleanliness and prostate cancer. The prostate is hidden deep inside the body, and it's very difficult to clean it. There have been some propositions that more frequent sexual activity in younger age, which is, seen as a form of cleaning in the fact that you're using your tubes more regularly, may convey a lower risk of prostate cancer later in life.
Okay.
That's about as much as I can tell you about cleaning the prostate.
All right. Ian has a question for us. Good morning to you, Ian.
Yeah, hi. I've got advanced localized prostate cancer. I actually went straight into chemo, which seems to be a more common approach now. I saw a urologist, I saw a radiologist, and I saw an oncologist, and they all worked together. And interestingly, the urologist said intuitively you'd think you'd want to cut the thing out, but once it's metastasized, there are better ways to deal with it. My PSA was 45 and my Gleason was 910, and my PSA is now 0.01, and I had a PET scan last week that showed no trace. Now, the problem is that it's so complex, so all I can recommend to anyone that's going into this process is that they do their homework and they look holistically. So I was I had no risk factors, zero.
Mm.
Fit, healthy, eat well, don't drink very much at all, don't smoke, yada yada, no family history, and I'm clean. But I think what we've found is it's a little bit like medical architecture. You need to understand the role of diet as well as the chemo, as well as potentially surgery, radiation, high-intensity exercise, which I have to do, which I did anyway, but and rest and mindfulness and happiness and all of this to optimize your results. I think, as in most industries, doctors will do what they know, and will feel safer. And going for me, and the other thing I learned is everyone's cancer is very different and unique. And even within the individual body, particularly where it's metastasized or spread, the cancer can be different in three different places where a treatment might knock out two and leave one. So all I encourage anyone in the same situation as me, and maybe I've won a battle but I'm still at war, is that you've got to look at it from all angles and explore all angles before you go straight under the knife.
Yeah.
Because that's the standard practice, and I think this is what this commentator is talking about, which I think is fantastic, and look at things holistically, because the chemo is advancing a lot, and there are a lot of, I'm on a clinical trial as well, but I think that's the key thing. It's not as simple as just saying, I'll cut it out. The urologist will say, the best surgeons will say, I can take out what I can see, it's what I can't see that will get you.
Yeah. Ian, look, it sounds as though you've come at this the right way, and we wish you all the best in the future too, because as you say, you've got a road ahead of you too. But how are you feeling?
I feel great, except I've got cancer.
Mm.
I get more fatigued, and I'm working through side effects, nothing I can't manage, but, it had such an impact on your life. I've got three young kids, one doing HSC and one in year 9 and one in first year of uni. So you kind of, and my father-in-law has just been through radiation treatment. So it is so common as well. I think the stats that came out before, more people die of prostate cancer than breast cancer.
Yeah.
And it's great there's some more awareness starting to happen.
Absolutely. Look, Ian, we do wish you all the best. It's a difficult journey. Thank you for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
Can I just say one quick thing?
Yes, please do.
To all the guys out there that are worried about going and seeing the doctor and are worried about having a digital examination, let me assure you, whatever goes out that orifice is far bigger than a finger going up to check your prostate. So, guys, you need to get over it. and if things are not quite right, go and see your doctor.
Ian, you have completely hit the nail on the head. That is such good advice for the fellow blokes out there. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Good. That's on you. Terrific. Thanks, yeah.
Isn't that great? You're nodding to so much of what Ian's saying.
Absolutely. Everything that Ian was saying was incredibly sensible, both for his own journey and for the recommendations for other men who might be facing the same sort of issues that Ian is. So thanks for those comments, Ian.
Yeah, really important for him to make that point. Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, Deb. How are you?
I'm well.
Thank you for the opportunity. I had a particularly good surgeon, and I didn't have surgery, but I had nuclear seeding put in my prostate, which killed the small amount of cancer that was in there, and I am absolutely 100%. My PSA is down under 1, and that was 18 months ago, and I'm fantastic. In fact, I had it done at St. Vincent's, and I live in Darlinghurst, but after staying overnight in a hotel, in the hospital, sorry, I walked home the next day.
Oh, look at you, hey? Goodness me.
And I'm 72.
Wow. Well, that is terrific news. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, was I had a full range of options, and the decision was up to me.
Great. That is good to hear. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
That is good news. It seems as though people are getting the options, which is, I guess, as you say, surgeons know what they know, radiologists know what they know, but they people are getting the information to some degree. But what are the pros and the cons of both? Of both treatment options, surgery and of radiation.
Okay, well, the outcomes that we've seen from international trials show that the pros and cons for both are kind of similar. So there's no... The 10-year survival from a big British study shows that men on active surveillance on radiation and surgery had 99% survival, all three groups. They had extremely good survival from prostate cancer. So often it comes down to some of the risks that you might be prepared to put up with in relation to impotence, incontinence, and fecal problems. And the first of those two are common across all three treatment groups.
Right.
And fecal incontinence can be associated with more men who have radiation treatment. But that radiation treatment that's now offered is far more precise and less likely to damage the bowels than it used to be.
Mm.
But impotence and incontinence are still very common side effects of both those types of treatments. That's why active surveillance, without those common functional issues, is often a good preference. Having said that, we've just published some results that looked at a cohort of men after 10 years after diagnosis who stayed on active surveillance, and there are issues about anxiety by not treating prostate cancer, in which you can sort of understand.
Absolutely.
I've got cancer, I'm not treating it.
Yeah.
What's that doing to me?
Because the sort of initial response is cut this thing out. That's
absolutely.
What you think of initially with cancer, with I suppose why we're talking about it. We're speaking with David Smith, researcher at the Cancer Council of New South Wales, and taking your calls as well, 1300 222 702. Alana, good morning.
Oh, hi there. Look, my dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer earlier in the year, and he was offered surgery and radiation, but he ended up doing a lot of research of his own, I think with some guidance, and ended up going over to America and getting proton therapy, which is a little bit like radiation, but it's more precise, and they're actually trying to bring it into Australia at the moment.
So you can't get it here?
Not at the moment,
okay.
No.
And how is your dad doing?
He's good. He's all clear.
Wow, that is great.
Yeah,
we'll see if David's got some more information on that. Alana, thank you. That is good news about your dad. Thank you for the call.
No problem.
What do you know about this proton treatment?
There are many treatments that are being trialled. Many of them haven't arrived in Australia yet. So some of these are for some very focused types of treatment, like proton, and there's another treatment called HIFU, which is high-intensity focused ultrasound. So these are often treatments that are available elsewhere, and we may see them if they prove to be effective.
Okay. Ron, we'll see if we can get your call in. Time is against us. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Sorry, I was driving. Very similar to the earlier calls. In my case, I was 69. First time, excuse me, ever in hospital, but chose to have surgery after all the consultations and reading the books, etc., and found it very successful. My gluten score wasn't high. PSA was quite low, but the symptoms that I had with urinating, etc., were the things that prompted me to pursue having something done, and very successful. Have low, almost negligible PSA reading now. That's 2 years after surgery. I was 69 when I had the surgery, 71 now. So And I had all the options to talk to oncologists and urologists, which I did first, of course. So my recommendation would be that if you're in doubt, you want to have peace of mind going forward, surgery is a good option. I had physio before and after, which helped very much. And certainly I'm very happy that I've made that decision because I didn't want to be worried, and it has turned out. And just, sorry, finally, very quickly, the actual Gleason reading when they did the pathology after removing the prostate was higher than they detected with the biopsy.
Okay. So, well, it is good that you've had the good outcome, Ron. That is great news indeed.
Yeah. And look, I think in my case, you know, a year later, and I could have been in real trouble.
Yeah, good on you, Ron. Thank you so much for the call. And David, thank you for the information. A lot of people, a lot of calls we couldn't get to, unfortunately, but it's a big issue that we need to discuss.
There are, and if people need to speak to a trained consultant, 13 11 20 is the Cancer Council's information and support line.
Good on you. David Smith there, researcher for the Cancer Council of New South Wales. We're going out to news time here.